In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we celebrate the feast of St. John of Kronstadt, and St. John reposed before the Bolshevik Revolution happened, but he could see it on its way. And so in many ways, you might say he lived in a time that might be similar to our own. There are dark clouds gathered on the horizon. And he warned people. He told them that if they fell away from the faith, like the intelligentsia had already done in his time, that God would punish the Russian land, that he would bring cruel rulers that would scourge them and punish them. But he also prophesied that Russia would be restored to the faith. He even prophesied that there would be a new czar at some point, which that hasn't happened yet. But he also prophesied that people from all over the world would embrace the Orthodox faith. Now, God works out his will in history, and it's not as if people don't have free choice, but people make bad choices, but God chooses by his divine providence to take the bad choices that people make and to work them for good. And so it's not that God decreed that the Russian people would fall away, but God used the fact that the Russian people fell away to work out his will in history. How did that happen, you might ask? Well, for one thing, many people were saved by martyrdom because they were given a stark choice. Had they lived in a society where everything was just coasting along and everything was going well, they might have gradually fallen away and lost their souls because they were never faced with a really hard choice. But also, because the Bolshevik Revolution happened, there were many unwilling missionaries that were sent all over the world spreading the Orthodox faith. And that's not the first time in church history. You could say that the same thing happened to the Greeks and to the Christians in the Middle East, because the persecutions that they experienced caused them to go all over the world. And today, there are more Greeks that live in Melbourne, Australia, I'm told, than live in Athens, because they've been dispersed by God's providence. And there are Orthodox churches all over the world that wouldn't be there had these things not happened. So again, it's not that God decreed that people would do evil things that would make these things happen, but God, seeing their choices, worked those choices for good, because we're told by St. Paul that all things work together for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. It doesn't mean that everything is good, but it means that all things work together for good because God makes it so. And as we stand on the precipice of an election that will probably be very consequential, I know many of us are very anxious. And our concern about the election is not unwarranted, but we shouldn't allow our concern to make us worry beyond what we're able to do. There are some things that we can do, and then there are a lot of things that we might wish would happen, but we don't have any control over those things. Because we live in a representative democracy, which is a republic, we have the right to vote. And if you're eligible to vote, if you're old enough to vote, you're an American citizen, you should vote. And you should vote your conscience, and your conscience should be informed by the teachings of the church. And that doesn't mean that we're always going to all agree on who we should be voting for, but we should be voting. And if everybody in this country voted their conscience, and if everybody was informed by God's law, we would live in a very different country than the one that we live in. But one thing that I can tell you is that God is not hoping fondly that the election is going to turn out a certain way and sitting on the edge of his seat just watching the returns come in late at night and just hoping that America makes the right choice. God is on his throne, and whatever America is going to decide, God already knows it, and God is going to work whatever happens for his glory. And all things will work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. You just have to know that and believe that. And if you love the Lord and if you are called according to his purpose, if you are answering that call, then everything is going to work for your good. And everything's not going to be good, but everything will work for good. In almost every liturgy, we hear the 145th Psalm, or the 146th if you were looking in a Protestant Bible. But in that psalm, it talks about the perspective that we should have about these things. It says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord in my life. I will chant unto my God for as long as I have my being." The prophet David is speaking to his own soul, and he's calling it to lay aside all earthly cares and to focus on God and to praise him. And we are to praise God with our mouth, we're to praise God with our hearts, but we're also to praise God in our life, which means to praise him by living out the gospel, which is what Christ was referring to in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." The time that we spend praising God is practiced for eternity, because we are told elsewhere in the Psalms that we will sing forever in the house of the Lord, those of us that are saved. And so if you learn to love God now and to praise him, you'll be well suited for that in eternity. "Trust ye not in princes, in the sons of men, in whom there is no salvation. His spirit shall go forth, and he shall return unto his earth. In that day all his thoughts shall perish." Even the best of men are liable to disappoint us, because they're still flawed human beings. And also, people who are in positions of power are particularly prone to disappoint us, because power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts absolutely, we're told by Lord Acton, and I believe that's a true statement. And so the more power someone has, the more likely they are to be corrupt. And unfortunately, we've allowed our government to become so powerful that that's why we're so concerned about it. If the government wasn't so powerful, we wouldn't really be that worried about the election. But unfortunately, we do, because the government has a big impact, and there are some people in this country that have a whole lot of power. And if you think about even someone like King David himself, who was a great king, we read in Scripture about him falling on more than one occasion. We have leaders in our country that aren't quite up to King David's standards, and so they're a lot more prone to fall. But also, no matter how good a ruler may be, he's not going to live forever. And so when they die, what the psalm is saying is their spirit's going to go forth to await their eternal reward, whatever that will be, and their body returns to the earth from which it was taken to await the resurrection of both the just and the unjust. And their promises and their plans and all that they intend to do passes away, and their authority passes on to someone else, and it might be someone better, it might be someone a lot worse. So if you're putting your hope in people who are in authority, you're setting yourself up to be disappointed. These people are not worthy of your putting that kind of trust. That's not to say that we don't have leaders that we want to support. It just means that we have to have it in proper perspective, because our kingdom is not of this world. And if this country goes in a bad direction, which it may very well do, it's not our kingdom that's going in a bad direction. It's the place that we happen to live in. But our kingdom is going to win in the end. "Blessed is he of whom the God of Jacob is his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who hath made heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is therein, who keepeth truth unto eternity, who executeth judgment for the wronged, who giveth food unto the hungry." What is all this saying? What it's saying is, in contrast to men, no matter how powerful they may be in relation to other men, they're still weak, finite. They're here today and gone tomorrow. But if your hope is in God, we're hoping in the God who has made all that we see and is able to keep his promises for all eternity, and to avenge those who are wrong, and to give grace and sustenance to those who depend on him. So he's the one that you should look to for your deliverance, not to any politician. "The Lord looseth the fettered, the Lord maketh wise the blind. The Lord setteth aright the fallen, the Lord loveth the righteous." Only God can free us from the chains that bind our hearts and our minds. Only God can open our spiritual eyes, which are blind, and give us wisdom and spiritual sight. Only God can raise us up when we fall into sin and clothe us with his righteousness. He does this for those who love him, because he loves us. And unfortunately, as our country has become increasingly secular, and as people have fallen away from any faith in God, obviously most people in this country have never been Orthodox, but at least they did have a faith in God, but that's increasingly no longer the case. And so what are these people who have turned their back on God doing? They're making a religion out of their politics. And that's why the election is such a big deal to them, because if their guy loses, it's the end of the world for them, at least for the next 4 years. And that's a false faith. And if you, and it's not just people on one side that have made politics a religion. There are many people on both sides that have made their politics a religion, and that is evil. That's idolatry, and we all have to reject that. The Lord preserveth the proselytes. He shall adopt for his own the orphan and the widow, and the way of sinners shall he destroy. A proselyte is a convert. So for those of us who are converts to the faith, this is God's promise that he's going to keep us in the faith and preserve us if we'll just cooperate with him. If we don't fight him tooth and nail, he will preserve us. And it says that God is a father to the fatherless and a husband to the widow in the scriptures, and that's what's being referred to here. And so those who are weak and are in need can always turn to him and find help and strength and deliverance. And also, we are all called to imitate God, so we as Christians are to be a father to the fatherless and a husband to the widow and to help people who are in need. That's what we are called to do as Christians. We're to be God's hands and feet and the means by which he helps these people. Not that God needs us, but God delights in using us if we will just simply work with him. But those who reject God, their ways, their evil behavior, and evil plans will be destroyed. And they will be held accountable for their choices in this life. And so if your hope is only in this life, you see a lot of injustice, and you have to end up in despair if you're really paying attention, because there's not a lot happening that corrects injustices in many parts of the world and even in this country. But God is ultimately going to deliver perfect justice. God is a God of truth. He's a God of justice and holiness and righteousness. And that should give us cause to fear, in a positive sense, God, so that we live according to his standards. But we should know that God is not mocked and that people are not going to get away with the evil that they do. The Lord shall be king unto eternity, thy God, O Zion, unto generation and generation. If your hope is in this life and if your happiness is contingent on what happens on Tuesday, there's a good chance you're going to be disappointed on Tuesday, but there's a 100% chance that you're ultimately going to be disappointed, because none of this stuff is lasting. It's all passing. But God is going to be king forever. God is going to win. So if you're placing your hope on him, you're never going to lose. You never have to worry about the next election, because whoever is elected president is going to be the president for the next 4 years. But 4 years from now, we're going to see the same people who are worried about this election being worried about the next election. God is forever. And if you put your trust in princes, you're leaning on very thin reeds. Put your trust instead in the God who will still be reigning when all the politicians running for election today are dust and ashes. Put your trust in the King who reigns forever and is ever able to preserve you and save your souls. Amen.